I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
Dustin, how are you, my love?
I'm doing so good. I'm in my favorite chair. Of course I'm doing good.
So good. It's giving Destiny's Child.
Yes, it is. So good. Again, once again, who owns the words to that song? Candy Burris. Ownership.
Sure,
once again this week.
That's it.
Ownership.
Hashtag brought to you by Ownership.
That's right.
Okay, so listen, we're going to go straight to it this week because we've got a nice little docket here that's going to give us a little bit of celebrity justice, and then we're also going to go deep into the culture with social justice issues, and it's been a minute since we've really gone to the heart of a social justice issue here on Holding Court, and it's about damn time.
Yes,
as
that's
Lizzo
right.
would say.
That's right. Shout out to Lizzo.
All right, so YSL, and you know, it's so funny because you know I didn't know who the fuck that was before we started covering it.
We only knew one YSL, okay?
I was just going to say, so every time I say YSL in the nature and the context of these damn criminal cases down in Georgia, I really do, my mind goes to a particular pair of YSLs.
I see the logo.
That's it. That's all I see is the logo.
Yeah.
I see the light. Okay. So AKs know what that is. Shout out to y'all. Okay. YSL case updates, and there's a few, so we're going to bundle them.
All right.
Much like... I was going to say Time, Water, and Spectrum. A nice little bundle.
We love a bundle. Make it easy.
Make it nice and easy for the people. And show you just how much of an absolute shit show this case has become. Everything from the lawyers going to jail and getting locked up, hand to hand, possession, shit in the open court.
I mean.
Lawyers talking to the judge, talking about cap.
No, and that's cap. When my life is in the balance.
Literally. And then on top of all that, no jury has still been sat.
Yep.
And then we got Young Thug trying to get out on bond for the fourth time. Somebody
told
him the fourth time to charm. Okay, but anyway, the facts have yet to determine if that's the truth. So, updates on this case. First of all, let's talk about the bond. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Young Thug has filed for a bond, pretrial release is another way to phrase that, yet again. And this time he is making some, to me, these are the more interesting claims of these past four attempts.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about this, Dusty. He's saying he cannot stay healthy inside of the jail because the food is unedible. It has zero nutritional value and zero health benefits. Let's keep in mind that he has been incarcerated ever since he was arrested on these charges, and he will remain in custody up and until either two things happen, Dustin. This case is actually adjudicated, which that's seeming further and further and further into the distance. Because, y'all, literally... The trial has not even started. They have not even sat a jury, and it's been 4 months to my count. So either this has to be adjudicated, which is at the earliest at this point. If they sat a jury tomorrow with all these witnesses and co-conspirators and all this shit, you talk about probably May, August, September at best. So, okay. Or, absent the disposition of the trial itself, this would have to be a judge saying he qualifies finally for pretrial release. Now, let's remind the folks, Dustin, as to what two factors are considered around pretrial release. And it doesn't matter if it's a federal charge or a state charge. In this case, we're about some high-level RICO state charges in Georgia under the prosecution of Miss Fannie Willis. He's having to prove, in order to be released pretrial, that he is not a flight risk, meaning he will actually come back, as Craig said. Friday, come back. It's my favorite. I love that movie. I'm going to come back.
Okay.
so he's got to prove that he's going to come back and show up and face these charges when it comes time for that.
Yeah.
And really, 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 really important, Dustin, he's got to prove that he will not be an inherent danger to society if he is released. And this one's, both of them are really, really hard for Young Thug, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, let's start with the flight risk. This is a man with infinite wealth. This is a man that, you know, I'm sure has a passport. And even if he doesn't have a passport, what he does have is enough money to fly private. So when you're a judge and you're looking at this level of celebrity, this level of wealth, the flight risk thing is always top of mind. Because they can move unlike ordinary people.
Yeah, they have the resources.
They have
to
a
do
different
so.
Level of resources. Yeah, so there's that. Let's talk about the inherent danger. Is society safe with you on the streets? That's what the court is asking. I can see a judge saying, we don't know, sir.
Because that's the reason.
Right. It's not like the underlying charges are drugs or just, you know, anything casual.
Yeah.
Some of these underlying charges are multiple murders. Mm-hmm. And I'm, of course, you know, Young Thug, like everybody else in American judicial systems, enjoys
until proven guilty.
The presumption of innocence. That's right, Dustin. He is totally innocent in the eyes of the law up and until there is a guilty verdict.
Right.
At the same damn time, let me tell you how judges think. If indeed there is an issue here, even a little bit of an issue in terms of violent propensities for this particular defendant, and I let him or her or them out, and something does happen. We see this a lot in domestic violence cases, right? Where there's a little bit of, you know, little to no evidence. And so a judge will say, you know, geez, you know, kind of my hands are tied. You know, I hear the charges, Mr. DA or Mrs. DA or you know, whatever. But there's not a lot of evidence. So I kind of feel like I need to release on bond or set a bond or let this individual out on some type of recognizance or ankle monitoring or whatever the pretrial conditions are. And then, unfortunately, I hate to say that I've seen this, Dustin. That young lady is murdered.
Mm.
Or that man is maimed in a serious way. Or that child is harmed during that pretrial release. Imagine being that judge that let that individual out and then running for office, running for re-election that next cycle.
Yeah, you have to answer for that to the people.
That's it.
Okay.
Imagine what that campaign cycle going to look like. So I'm just trying to give y'all context as to why Young Thug keeps being denied bond.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's right. Not saying I agree with it. I'm just telling you the why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's that. Also, in his plea for bond this time, Dustin, he's saying that he's not getting enough outdoor time. He needs some. It's giving COVID. He needs some more outdoor space. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, actually, right? So he's making claims that he's not getting enough exercise. His cell is too small. He's not getting fresh food. He's not getting nutrition. He's sleep deprived, even though he's only sleeping for 5 hours a night.
How many was he sleeping for before?
Yeah. If it's Judge Dustin, is that sleep deprivation for you?
Personally,
so we know how you roll.
If I was a judge, all right. I was a judge, though, none of those are things that sound like considerations that really are not given to, you know, people who are incarcerated, right? Why should we care?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be outside more. You're in jail. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it was the tone for me, Dustin. Yeah, you're in jail.
So for me, you know, but then I also feel like, fuck that. Like, he needs all those things that he asked for. You know what I'm saying?
So you see both sides of
that. Yeah. And for me, it's not so much of me rallying, you know, support behind Young Thug, even though he committed these alleged crimes But I'm sorry. White people sliding all day long in the legal system, out for all kind of, you know, whatever behind the back reasons or whatever the fuck. Let Young Thug get his too. Shit.
I hear that. I think what's interesting to me with this one is a couple things. Number one, okay, let's start with the law, where you know I like to start.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all claims, essentially, that Young Thug's Eighth Amendment rights are being violated.
Mm-hmm.
The Eighth Amendment says nobody in America should be exposed to what we call cruel or unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets to these conditions that he's speaking about. I guess what I would say, if I'm, you know, Judge Ebony, which Judge Ebony will be a real thing coming this fall.
How
to syndication, Equal Justice with Judge Ebony. Check your local listings.
I can't wait to watch.
It's going
to
be so fun. So good.
Mm-hmm.
So rich. I think Judge Ebony on this one, Dustin, is thinking two things. Number one, I don't want to see anybody. I don't care if you're pretrial, which means even more so, you're not even guilty of anything. You're presumed to be innocent, so you really shouldn't be operating under punitive conditions anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you were guilty, and we are talking about punitive conditions, they cannot be cruel nor unusual.
Right, period.
Now, that said, I want to compare and contrast what Young Thug is alleging here with a gentleman by the name of C. Murder.
Mm-hmm.
We know that C. Murder, I don't know if he's still on it, but certainly was recently on a hunger strike, talking about his conditions. And when I remember what he was outlining, Dustin, around just the deplorable nature of his conditions, the dirtiness and the filth, I want to say he was, maybe, was he in Angola? It was just, you know, like, really deplorable, really unconscionable. And I think that argument resonates a lot deeper with me in terms of what an Eighth Amendment violation against cruel and unusual punishment would look like versus low-key Young Thug sounding like it's just not the Four Seasons, honestly. He sounded like he had the days in.
personally, don't play with me when my life is in the hanging in the balance, right? Like, these weak attempts to secure him this pretrial release.
Yeah.
Stop throwing spaghetti on the wall to see what's going to stick.
Yeah.
Come up, do your job. Come up with something, you know, that can stand.
That's strong.
Yes, a strong.
Compelling. It's got to be compelling. And, you know.
What is this bullshit, Ebony? This is,
like, it's saying he wants a Peloton. And
come on,
you know, a surf and turf.
Come
That's
on,
what it's reading that way to me.
Like, come on, come
and
on.
And if I'm a judge, not only am I not inclined to grant pretrial relief on the fourth attempt, I might be starting to get pissed off. Mm-hmm. To your point, like, okay, now I feel like you kind of just playing with me.
Then when you add in all the other layers, excuse me, that you spoke about previously, the shenanigans in court, the less than professional, you know, presentation of his
addressing
defense
to the court. Yeah.
Like, come the fuck on. Are y'all trying to send this motherfucker to jail? Like, what's going on? I'm trying to see what's I just think there's other motivations.
So I
here.
Think we can all expect for this fourth motion to be denied.
Denied.
And now we're going to move on. Okay, so now you talked about the shenanigans, D. Let's get to them. So apparently YSL, and that's talking about the whole co-defendant cohort here, their lawyer, one of their lawyers, actually was arrested in the courtroom on April 20th. This is a mess. So this is Anastasios Manitas, okay? This lawyer was arrested before entering the Fulton County courtroom on April 20th. Why was he arrested, you might ask? Well, they charged him with disruption of court proceedings, obstruction of justice, and possession, as in pills not in the original container. You know, they'll get you for that.
Yeah.
You can't be putting pills in an Advil bottle like I used to do.
And going to, you wasn't going to damn.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. That was just me.
The hell?
To be,
like these people, anyway. Because they know. It's just ridiculous to me how careless they're being. It's almost like they just literally don't give a fuck about the outcome of this trial.
Mm-hmm.
And are just showing up.
And showing up in poor posture, too.
My God.
I mean, this is a hot mess. Let's keep in mind that this same lawyer had been previously charged with simple battery on a law enforcement officer. Thankfully, that was dropped.
How your lawyer need a lawyer?
Well, I was going to say, I'm glad you got straight to it. We'll get to some more of these facts in a minute. Well, let's go to them. Okay, the arrest of this particular lawyer, Manitas, came a day after another chaotic scene in court in which at least three people were seen being handcuffed after multiple people were heard screaming at each other inside the courtroom. So a full-on circus. And then the very next day, the lawyer doing this fuck shit and gets arrested. Those that were placed into cuffs were seen walking out of the courtroom. The sheriff also confirmed on April 20th, same day the lawyer got arrested, that the scene was started by discovery of marijuana with one of the other defendants. So you've got a defendant being caught with possession of marijuana in court, and then you also have a lawyer being arrested right before he goes into the courtroom with disruption of court proceedings, obstruction, and possessions of some pills that were not properly labeled. Here's the issue. Let's talk about the lawyer. You said it, Dustin. How does your lawyer need a lawyer? So what we know, this is basic. The main thing for your lawyer to do, the creative legal arguments, the brilliant legalese, all that's great. But the first thing you got to get right is when the judge sees you, they have to presume you to be a credible pillar of law and order. So therefore, anything you say or represent on behalf of your client can be perceived through a positive lens, through a truth-telling lens.
Yeah.
So if you coming into court, Dustin, can you imagine being the defendant in this case? And you got to watch your lawyer. You know, you sitting at the table by yourself, right? So let's just like really play this out. You sitting at the table by yourself, ready for the hearing to begin on April 20th. You know, probably like, well, I guess you ain't looking at your watch because they took your watch. But anyway, you know, but you're thinking, you know, where's my lawyer? You know, we about to start and he late and what's going on? Oh, but he was just arrested. For what? At best, maybe because he would not reveal a source. You know, there's some noble reasons that we've seen attorneys go into custody and be held in contempt because they're so adamant with the law that they won't breach their, you know, obligation to truth and discretion and privilege. They won't break privilege. Now, that's a good reason to get locked up as an attorney. But mislabeled pills, obstruction of justice, and disruption of court proceedings? No, sir, counselor.
No, sir. And it's disrespectful to 420. Okay.
What are you
It's disrespectful. How dare you get caught up with this bullshit on 420, a day when we're supposed to be celebrating having the very shit you got caught with.
Didn't you have like a really dope ass party on 420?
I did.
Well, I mean, I understand I don't partake in the same way that some do, but I mean, I could have just been there with my cup.
You can all, you have an open invite to be at my home whenever you want to. And next year, I'm going to make sure that you are on that list.
I could have been there with my cup.
All I would like for you to have been in that number, okay? Because the Saints marched that day, goddammit. Okay?
You are hilarious.
Yes.
Okay, so there's that. So speaking of, I talked about the example of lawyers being held in contempt. Well, another one, as Callum would say. Another disturbance was caused at the courtroom.
Another one.
When this same messy ass lawyer, what is this, Manitas, refused to buy lunch for the other lawyers. Now, this was, I thought the judge was doing a little much here. This was the judge hurt his back with that reach, in my opinion. Judge Glanville, keep in mind, this is a very distinguished black man. This is a black man who has a strong military background. So he runs, as the lawyers that I know that practice in Fulton County, Dustin, tell me, a very tight ship.
Okay.
You don't want to play in Judge Manville's court, period.
Okay.
But this is what the judge had to say here. Quote, it has been brought to my attention that some of you at various times have gotten cross purposes with our court personnel. And this falls under the general category of professionalism and our obligations as counsel. Do not provide extra items in contravention of the things that our deputy have told you. On a basic level, folks, all of us are still subject to the rules to include the court. So please don't put yourself cross purpose with the court. That was saying a whole lot. Right?
The fact that you have to essentially warn these people, these legal professionals,
so-called.
Right?
Yeah.
To you have to warn them based like children. It's like talking to children. Don't touch nothing when we get in here. That's
right.
Basically what that means.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Act like, right.
Yeah, act right or else.
And because you didn't act right, this same black man, Judge Glanville, has fined two lawyers, Manitas and this guy named Eric R. Johnson for $250 and ordered them both. He loves giving these essay assignments.
Yeah.
He's also ordered them to write a 17-page essay on the importance of professionalism in court. It has to be APA style, taking them back to college, y'all, and complete with 20 primary and secondary sources. The essays are to be completed by April 28th, or they face 20 days in jail. But I think they were able to pay the $250 in lieu of the essays, but still. Dustin, I mean,
nobody has time for that. We don't have time to even do it. The judge doesn't even have time to do all that. When we have cases on the docket that require our attention, and the fact that we have to because you all, miserable lot,
this banshee,
like for
situation
real,
of
like
so-called
what the fuck
attorneys.
Are they doing, Ebony?
Yeah, they're just really. First of all, they're doing their clients a disservice. If
oh
I'm
my
young
God!
Thug, well, here's the. So I was talking to an attorney. Joshua, I forget his last name, but he was a really good attorney on the griot about this. He's based in Fulton.
Okay.
He made an interesting point, which is provocative, but I think he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that Young Thug and the others that are co-defendants are allowing their lawyers to behave like this is it's serving as a distraction from the actual proceedings taking place. And one could argue that could be to the defense's advantage because the longer shenanigans are at foot, the longer lawyers are being held in contempt, the longer the judge has to take time out of the docket to talk about writing me a 17-page essay and APA style and all this bullshit, the longer Fannie Willis, the prosecutor here, is unable to seat a jury and start the business of an opening statement and offering up evidence and putting witnesses on the stand and cross-examination and all the other things that are to come, one could argue, Dustin Ross, that witnesses go missing, witnesses get amnesia, memories get fuzzy, foggy, evidence goes missing, you get it. So all of this chaos, to put it mildly, could be a part of the legal strategy.
I sure hope so. 'Cause if not, what kind of people are they? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I sure hope there's a method to this damn madness.
I would not be surprised, though, when this is all said and done, if there are some bar sanctions for some of these lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Like at some point, the bar in Atlanta, Georgia, they're not going to play with your ass but for so long.
I can't even imagine being on trial My life, once again, like I said previously, literally in the balance.
Literally, because please know they're looking at life in prison with these murders.
And my attorney telling the judge, that's cap. Yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, I would be so
incensed.
Oh my God, because I would already feel powerless being, you know, fucking locked up. Yeah. I can't even communicate freely to tell this motherfucker, hey, don't do that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you're going, let's hope. Let's hope.
And I know, obviously, you don't know him personally, but how do you think this is landing for Young Thug?
If Young Thug is the mastermind, mm-hmm. you know, architect of this enterprise that they say he is and was, mm-hmm. I'm sure it's pissing him the fuck off. Mm-hmm. Because there is, I hate to say it, but there's a skill and some strategy involved to, you know, operating.
Oh, of course.
You
know? Especially, let's talk about it. RICO, like, this is not just a plain charge. The underlying nature of RICO is talking about leadership of organization. That's
so
the point. It's racketeering.
You are the person who has been, you know, leading.
Orchestrating this, that. Yeah.
I'm sure you are
away.
Incensed with anger
yeah.
about what's going on. Unless, as you brilliantly brought up, this is all part of a bigger plan. So let's hope.
I will say this. I've never seen anything like it.
Me
and
either.
I've seen a lot of courtrooms in all different parts of the country. This here is some different shit.
Yeah.
This here is some different shit.
Let's hope. You know, I've never seen anything like this. And hopefully he gets his, you know, Chipotle or whatever I guess he want to get from, you know.
Right. He gets a good kava bowl.
Kava. Yeah,
you know,
kava.
Because that's very healthy.
Yeah.
That's got a lot of nutritional benefits.
There you go.
That hummus is rich in fiber.
There you go, Jeffrey.
Maybe
you
that's
take
what
it.
He needs.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I will say this, back to like how long it's been since this case has kind of, quote, started mm-hmm. and how there is no jury sat as of yet. It makes me wonder, and this is another legal possibility, if at some point Fannie Willis in the DA's office says, okay, we're struggling here to prove our case, let's start offering some deals.
Mm-hmm.
Could you see that?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Hopefully that's the direction that this is going, because otherwise I just don't see.
Then it's nonsensical.
It's completely nonsensical, Ebony. Yeah. There's no logical explanation for this crazy circus that we've been witnessing.
This is a complete shit show. So we'll keep y'all posted, of course, and maybe one day they'll actually see the jury.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, something in my spirit just gave me a little bit of a premonition. I wouldn't be surprised if any day now we see Fulton County DA Fannie Lewis offering blah, 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 in exchange for guilty pleas, and then I'm just kind of maybe going with that,
because mm-hmm.
This is a hot mess. So we'll see. All right, we're going to end today's episode on something that, you know, really shook me to my core. I was actually in India, Dustin, mm-hmm. when this story broke. I'm talking about the young man, 16-year-old Ralph Jarl.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot, of course, we know, as he approached the wrong house. He rung the doorbell of an 84-year-old white man by the name of Andrew Lester. This all happened in Kansas City, Missouri. Jarl was attempted to pick up his twin brothers, little brothers, and ended up at the wrong address, according to family members. This was what was so nuts about this. 16-year-old Jarl was shot at point-blank range, not in the leg, not in the arm, in the head. And because there is the greater good of God, he miraculously survived the bullet. Now, the man who shot the teenager, again, this 84-year-old by the name of Andrew Lester, he has been charged. He has entered a plea of not guilty. And he claims that he shot this young boy in the head, a 16-year-old boy in the head, who he had never seen a day before in his life, because he was, quote, afraid of his size, of the boy's size. So let's compare this, Dustin, for another story that is tragically of similar fact pattern.
Okay.
We're going back to 2021. A 28-year-old young man by the name of Justin King, black man, he was shot by his white neighbor in Crawford County, which is about an hour southwest of St. Louis. So we're still in Missouri.
Same area.
Same area, same jurisdiction. Now, in that one, he died. Deadly shooting. No miraculous survival. This young 28-year-old is now dead. County officials held a coroner's inquest back in January of 2022. So a jury of six Crawford County residents decided, this is really going to blow your mind, that the killer of Justin King, who was a neighbor, was justified in the deadly shooting after hearing albums of evidence and testimony. Justin King's family lawyer told News 4 at the time that Crawford officials decided, told him that no written audio or video transcription of the meeting existed. So the lawyer's inquiring, like, let us see some of the evidence, hear some of the testimony that led them to say this was a justifiable homicide, because that's what that is, homicide, killing, taking of life. And the county officials said, oh, we don't have anything available. It doesn't exist. And that's in contradiction, Dustin, to Missouri's own state laws.
My nerves getting bad. This is really making me upset.
Because it's unconscionable. Missouri state law states that an open record of closed meetings must be retained by a government body. So you're telling me that the law, on one hand, you're saying that the law requires there to be an opening up, essentially, of the record so people can understand why there would be a finding of justifiable homicide. And then on the other side of your mouth, you're telling me that no record exists. Make it make sense.
Wow.
Now, later, the county officials did release video, audio, and documents regarding to the case. News 4 is not identifying the shooter because that person still, to this day, has not been charged with a crime. That's why we only know that person as neighbor. This is really sad about this one with Brother King. He kept shouldering the door, shouldering the effing door. This is what the man said in that video footage about Justin King shortly after the shooting took place. He was trying to knock on the door, and I'm like, Justin, what is it? What's wrong? He bulldogged me on the porch, and I hit the ground. That's apparently the claim.
The man, bitch, please. That's what I would have said. Bitch, please.
And then again, a deadly shooting, though?
Like, what?
This is what Justin King's father told that same local News 4 channel. If someone was beating at my door, I wouldn't let him in. So this is Justin King's father, John King. He obviously let Justin in. Good point, Daddy. He was just in Justin's home a few minutes prior. So y'all knew each other. Daddy's saying to me, it's murder. I don't see how he could have gotten shot 3 times on the inside of his house and then made it outside. It's too many cases of white men killing innocent black people because of Castle Doctrine.
Which we talked about previously on this show.
Oh,
in
man.
Season 1.
We've been talking about Castle Doctrine since the first episode. Mm-hmm. That got us back to Breonna Taylor.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and it's very, very important that, you know, whether it's the killing of Justin King or the maiming, and but for God, let's be clear. But for God, what we know is 16-year-old Ralph Jarl would also be dead. So I think there's a few things here. Obviously, we know there's the issue of white men killing innocent black men only to be either not at all held accountable, as we see in the case of young Justin King, or we'll see what the accountability, if there is any, looks like in the upcoming conclusion of what happens with 84-year-old Andrew Lester. I want to tell you, I'm not even moved by the fact that this man is 84 years old.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. Right? Let him rot and treat his ass just like you would a man who was 24.
That's it.
That entered the facility for the same reasons.
I also think it, not I think, I know it's complete bullshit, the claim that, oh, okay, I was so reasonably afraid of him because of his size. So let's talk about that. Who was it? Well, of course, when Trayvon Martin was shot and killed, but then also there was another,
Mike Brown.
A baby, 12-year-old Tamir Rice.
Oh, Tamir.
12-year-old Tamir Rice. So I was working at CBS News at the time, and I was covering a story about Tamir Rice being shot and killed playing in a park, because that's what happened to that child. Yep. He was 12. So I moseyed on over down the street to Columbia University, and I spoke extensively with a black female professor in the sociology department.
Okay.
And she opened her books, unlike this local county commissioner in the case of killing Justin King.
Yes.
This black professor, Dustin, opened her books, and she showed me her data. And she had been studying, not opining, not talking about, not thinking about. She had been studying data points that indicated factual examples of where black boys and girls, both, not just boys and girls, were presumed to be two things: older than they were based off of their physical presentation, and older and larger than they were simply because of the black skin that they are in. So meaning this, let me give you an example of what she was telling me, Dustin. Like, so basically, let's say you're a 14-year-old black girl and you're just walking down the street. But if a, and this is true, believe it or not, both black and white people make this falsity. So it's much, it's similar to how we talk about black cops. They are not really any better on these issues, unfortunately.
Right. Doing the same
shit. Doing the same thing. So black children of all genders and gender identities are presumed to be older and larger than they actually are. You know that little thing at the bottom of
objects in the mirror
appear larger than they are? That they might as well put that on black kids. Literally.
That's crazy.
Because that's what's happening. So let's say it's a 14-year-old black girl. She's going to be presumed to be a 23-year-old grown woman. She's going to be hypersexualized. She's going to be seen as threatening. Let's say she's, I don't know, I'm just making this up. Let's say she's 5 feet even. She's going to be presumed to be 5'6". And of larger stature. Thus, more intimidating.
More threatening, more menacing.
And more menacing and more dangerous and more deadly. Now applied to a black boy. See how it goes? So even though Tamir was 12, the defendant in that case, I believe, was cited as saying that he thought he was 19 or some bullshit.
How the fuck do you know? You don't even know him. These people, these racist, gun crazy people in America have really, really taken me to my to the brink of my patience, my bandwidth, period, with this shit. Like, it's getting...
You know what it is, Dustin, is we're asked to see their humanity, but they never see ours. And they're not even being asked to, really. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it
it's all right. Yeah, because it's pissing us off. I hope these guns start backfiring. That's what I hope.
Can you imagine?
Bitch, the next time you pull your gun out to kill me, I hope may it backfire and knock you in your 84-year-old chest and sternum and put your ass on the ground. You know what I'm saying?
And I really, really want this 84-year-old white man, Andrew Lester, I don't want him to die. I want him to go to fucking trial. I want you to take it to the trial. Because I really hate the fact that that dumb bitch that is the reason brother.
Carolyn, whatever her name is. Well, her Bennett or whatever her name is.
Look up and see how old that bitch was.
Evil ass. Evil old ass.
I don't like it. And people are like, oh, good. That's good. No, that's not good.
No, she should have suffered.
And she should have really been brought to fucking justice.
Been held accountable formally.
Carolyn Bryant. That's what it is. Carolyn Bryant, who just died at 88 years old, without ever being held legally accountable for the lies that she perpetrated that caused the murder, the brutal, horrific, heartbreaking, devastating murder of young 14-year-old Emmett Till.
Yeah, and this was something that was widely known. This was not a local secret or a local story. This was widely known. People all over the world knew exactly who that bitch was.
That's it.
And exactly why she's a bitch to us and to everyone.
Totally.
And she slid by. She slid by until, you know, until they called her card.
Ultimately, she escaped justice. So I don't like it. So for those of you that saying, oh, boy, is going to die anyway, and Andrew Lester and all that. Nah, fuck all that. I don't want him to
die. We want accountability.
I want accountability.
And justice, like you said.
Yeah, it's very, very important. So that's that. I do want to address the Castle doctrine of it all. And let's talk about the fact that from a legal theoretical point, I have no problem with the Castle Doctrine. So for those unfamiliar, let me just run it down to you real quick. Essentially, the Castle Doctrine is very popular in certain territories in the Southwest or the Midwestern parts of the country. You don't see Castle Doctrines in New York. You'll never see that shit on the West Coast. Where you see that is Texas, Missouri,
Ohio,
places like Ohio,
Michigan,
exactly, Indiana, probably the quote heartland quote of America. Interesting, they call it the heartland when it's not looking like they have much heart.
Heartless,
Doesn't call it the heartless of America.
Right.
So what the Castle Doctrine says is, quote, is I'm just giving you the framing because it's going to sound real sexist, but historically it's based on this. A man's home is his castle. And under that premise, you have a disproportionate right to protect your throne. That's the legal thinking, right? So therefore, if someone comes onto your throne, into your property, now it's interesting because when you start teasing out, well, what's your throne, what's your property, sometimes that's the front yard, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes that's the porch. Sometimes you have to actually break the barrier of entry. So all of that's the legal nuance. But in short, Castle Doctrine says, where you reside, where you call home, you have an extra layer of presumptive protection.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone pierces that throne, whatever the state determines that throne to be, you essentially have the right to shoot first and ask questions later.
Yeah.
That's the castle doctrine.
Yeah. And people know that when they take advantage of it every single day.
Well, that's my issue, right? Because when we see black people like Breonna Taylor's boyfriend exercising that same theory,
mm-hmm.
we were sleeping our bed, minding our business.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
busted up in here,
mm-hmm.
unannounced, not identifying yourself. And I use my legal right to bear arms for all of you Second Amendment defenders out there, and I'm one too. But when we exercise the castle doctrine to protect our throne as black Americans, we get shot and killed for it. So for me, it's my issue is not per se the castle doctrine.
No.
But it becomes the castle doctrine, Dustin.
When it's manipulated.
When it's not evenly yoked in its application. So if we're going to apply the castle doctrine, apply it in a colorblind way. Oh, that's right.
This is America.
This is America. What your boy
Charles Gambino. Yep. This is America in them high waist pants.
Yeah, he was looking a hot mess at something recently.
I seen it.
Was it the Oscars?
He had a suit on with the back out. It was a Vanity Fair after party.
After party.
Mm-hmm.
They probably didn't let him in the Oscars. They probably turned his ass away.
They sure did.
Yeah.
From the front, though. They told him, walk out backwards. We don't even want to see the back of that goddamn suit.
Shut the fuck up. We got to have a little levity here because this is enough to really piss you off.
Really, it gets dark when you start talking about it and when you see it be so repetitive and so blatant.
And so blatant and so obvious. Flagrant. For those that want to talk about and get in the minutia of Black Lives Matter, and they want to talk about the organization, they want to talk about the leaders and everything, the indictments and the houses, fuck all of that.
Right.
When we're talking about Black Lives Matter, we're talking about this right here.
This shit right here.
The absolute basic premise
that
a 16-year-old black boy in America, and he's just that, he's a black boy, he's not a fucking man, and nor should he be deemed by default because of his black skin and masculine identity a threat of danger to you.
Mm-hmm.
But because that is the functioning of black identity in America, that is why we are saying that black lives clearly do not matter to Americans. Because when you get to shoot and kill a young black man for simply ringing the wrong doorbell, pulling up in the wrong driveway, what are we talking about?
At point blank range, too.
In the head.
Mm-hmm. How much danger could you have been in to shoot somebody at point blank range in the head?
That's what I'm saying. And articulate your anger. And see, this is why, and I'm going to end the episode on this, because everything goes back, y'all, to the fucking law.
Mm-hmm.
As I've been saying for almost 10 years now, y'all, nothing's going to change. Not when it comes to justice for Ralph Yarrell.
Yeah.
Not when it comes to justice for the dearly departed Justin King.
Yep.
Not when it comes to justice for Tamir Rice.
Yep. Or Breonna Taylor.
Breonna Taylor or Philando Castile or...
Trayvon, we'll be
here all day until the laws change. So if you are as bothered by this conversation and this reporting as Dustin and myself are, and I know that you are, go ahead and pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get them fucking Twitter, Instagram fingers to working and reach out to the following individuals specifically. There's some more you can reach out to, but I'm going to start with us.
Mm-hmm.
Michael say, look at the man in the mirror.
That's right.
Go ahead and holler at Tim Scott. Go ahead and holler at Cory Booker.
Mm-hmm.
Go on and holler at VP Kamala Harris, because she was an original co-sponsor of this.
Mm-hmm.
Go on and holler at, the Reverend Warnock.
Oh, Warnock, Raphael Warnock. Warnock,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, the good Dr. Reverend Warnock down in the good state of Georgia, the gentleman from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Holler at all of those individuals and let them know today is a good day to revisit, tweak, revamp, whatever the fuck y'all are paid to do, but with taxpayer dollars, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that act, y'all, there is a provision that helps make this type of shit not happen as frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a changing of the use of deadly force.
Mm.
And it talks about, and it in the bill is specifically around officers, but of course, so goes the common application. So then it says that it is not enough to use deadly force because you have a, quote, reasonable fear. Because as you see by this stupid ass 84-year-old Andrew Lester, the reasonable fear was made the fuck up. Oh, well, because he was, I thought he was too big, so I shot him in the head in cold blood. And but for the grace of God, he lived to tell about it. You change that standard from, quote, your arbitrary made up ass reasonable fear standard to one of necessity.
Yeah.
So then Andrew is not in court getting to testify about the big boogeyman, scary black teenager.
Yeah.
Now you've got to make an offering with your old ass, Andrew. Tell us why it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary, not reasonable. We've elevated the standard. Why it was necessary for your ass to shoot this young black child in the head. See the difference?
Absolutely. It's a different call to action. It's a different call to accountability.
It's a different legal standard.
Completely different
and
legal standard.
And it is the only thing, Dustin. I promise to God, my hand to heart, if my name is Ebony K. Williams, this is what I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It is the only thing that will create less instances of innocent black life being taken away with no accountability. It's the only thing. It's not going to be no petitions. It's not going to be no fucking marches. God bless all of those tools of protest. But it's going to be the change in this legislation, specifically
real change.
This standard from reasonably fearful
to necessary.
Necessary.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I wish more people knew that so that they could demand and push for that to be passed.
Well, shit, if you listen to Hold the Court right now, pass the fucking copy and paste and pass this shit on.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to take. If you really, really are tired of this and you really, really are wringing your hands, oh my God, we've been talking about this since Mike Brown. We've been talking about this since Trayvon. And truthfully, we've been talking about this since what? Sean Bell.
How about that?
If you know, you know.
How about that? Word to Detroit. We've been talking about this since Sean Bell.
That part.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this since the young sister in L.A. was shot and killed for the orange juice.
Oh, my God.
So if you're tired of talking about it, Black America, pick up the phone, use your little Twitter fingers, your Instagram fingers, and all that shit, since y'all so busy buying blue check marks.
And Ebony's comments about that bullshit from last
week. Yeah, y'all so pressed about dating bus drivers and
right.
shit. Why don't you do something to help save a black life?
Right.
If you don't want to buy a bus and pursue black ownership, like I'm suggesting, that's cool. But at least do something. Use your vote.
Since you're so concerned about the mental state of black America and what we're thinking.
And you're so concerned about the well-being of black men in America.
Yeah. Where is the concern in this case?
Go ahead
and
do
something. In these cases.
Yeah, and of course, several things can be concerned about and cared about and talked about at the same time. I just want to see y'all show up and say, I want to see Tyrese. Go ahead and post about George Floyd, Justice and Policing Act.
Please don't even get me started.
I mean, I'm just saying. So that's really where I want to leave it today. We're gonna go ahead and wrap this one up, but that's a real call to action.
Very real,
very direct.
The word of the day is necessary. This is a necessary change.
That's it.
To add the word necessary
today.
Right. That's right.
Make that change.
That's
right. Let's go from reasonable, which is some bullshit, arbitrary shit that will always work against the favor and humanity of blackness. Make it necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Prove to the court why it was necessary to shoot that young black kid in the head. Prove to the court why, as Philando Castile is showing you his paperwork for a legally possessed handgun. Were you at NRA? Make him prove it was necessary, right? Because you're protecting gun owners' rights, right? Philando Castile was a legal gun owner in America. Where's justice for him?
They don't know. They too busy shooting the six packs of Bud Light they bought yesterday in the backyard right now.
That's it.
That's what they're doing. Shooting up Bud Light that they already bought because they mad about some transgender girl or whatever.
Ooh, when I tell you them trans folks got these people pressed, baby.
Yeah. Nasty ass Bud Light. First of all.
Water.
And they look so dumb. They can't wait to make these videos putting on. I saw a young lady in a American. They put on as much American flag paraphernalia as they can.
Sure.
And their boots. And then they go out to the back. And, you know, they're patriots. And they shoot up the beer. That's where they at.
They're
not even paying attention to this shit.
Okay.
Because they don't care. Because they're getting to do what they want to do in the first place.
Okay.
Which is mow down black Americans.
Black Americans with no consequence. So the only people that's once again, all we got is us.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just show up for each other. All right, I'm going to leave y'all with that. Y'all know what time it is. So that's it for this week's episode of Holding Court. We're going to be back next week.
Yes, we will.
With more stories, more legal eagles for you.
That's
and,
right.
And much more to digest and unpack. In the meantime, y'all, please, 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 call your senators, call your congressmen, mm-hmm. call your congresswomen. Let them know it's time for justice. Today is a good day.
Great day.
To pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act.
Mm-hmm.
Stay safe, y'all. Keep the faith. This springtime weather is upon us. Make sure you take your allergy medicine and pills.
Please.
And label them appropriately.
Please do
so
that.
So you don't end up in jail
okay.
like some people's lawyers.
Okay.
And what you want the people to do, Dustin.
Read your terms and your conditions, please.
Thoroughly.
That's right.
Thank you. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. Consultant, Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead, Sarah Yu. Business development lead, Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead, Samira Still.